We all made it through the snow. As I recall, it was snowing when we left here last Sunday, and we got a little bit between then and now. So good to see you all back here. Made it back through that. We all probably have our stories about Tuesday. I got a text from Nancy on Wednesday, I think it was. There's water dripping through this one of the room ceilings. So that's never good, but it's okay now. But that's not a good text you want to get. Water should be outside the house, except in the bathroom. But anyway, it's good to be here. As you probably know, we've been going through a series on discipleship. And today is the last Sunday on that. We're going to talk about discipleship together. And we've talked about, we started out defining discipleship is really that choice to make following Christ, being close to Jesus, as a priority. It's a Christian who's made that a priority. And so we talked about having the hunger to do that, the desire, and how we might stimulate that desire. And we talked about habits of discipleship and those choices that we might make to pursue Christ more vigorously. We talked about the work of a disciple and the devotion of a disciple, and how it takes two hands. As you remember the wheelbarrow illustration, it takes two hands, it takes both devotion and action as we are disciples. And we've said that a disciple is a learner, an apprentice, so to speak, that Jesus called us to be his apprentices, to be growing in our knowledge and our ability to do what he's doing and to be associated with him. And, you know, in many respects, discipleship is something that only that's about you. And between you and Jesus, it's an individual thing. No one can give you the desire to pursue a relationship with Christ. That's something that you need to develop and encourage and seek. No one can make those choices to choose the habits of a disciple. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, you can't choose for me what I'm going to do. It's up to me if I'm going to hit the snooze or if I'm going to get up and start my day reading and praying and those habits that we talked about. And so really, in many respects, is an individual pursuit. Discipleship is in many respects an individual pursuit. But is it really a solo adventure? That's what we're going to talk about today. Is it a solo adventure? Is it me on my own, pursuing Christ, or is there some aspect of it that we do together, that we do discipleship together? And so we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, that I think speaks to this. And we'll make some observations and see what we can learn. Let's pray, and then we'll open Ephesians and take a look. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are worthy of our pursuit, that you are worthy of our attention and of our efforts to know you better, to walk more closely with you. Help us today to hear from you how we might do that individually and how we might do that together. So I pray that you would open our minds and hearts to what you might show us today. Amen. And so Ephesians 4 starts out in the first verse. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then Paul is writing to this church in the town of Ephesus, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So just that first verse, he's saying he's going to give some instructions. He's going to give some instructions about living a life worthy of the calling you've received. In other words, he's going to give some instructions about being a disciple. This calling, we've been called to be disciples of Christ. And he's going to give some instructions. He says, And so what follows, I believe, are some helpful directives to give us an idea of what this looks like. And I'm going to jump down. We're going to kind of jump back and forth a little bit in this section. We're going to look between verse 1 and verse 16, but I want to jump down to verse 11. I'm going to just read 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so it says that he gave certain gifts or abilities to a variety of people to equip the church. And it talks about so that the body of Christ may be built up. Throughout Paul's letters, he refers to the church as body. That's a picture that he uses. And so the church, followers of Christ, are his body. It says the body of Christ may be built up. And so we are intended, I believe, to do this discipleship in the context of the church, being with others. It's not a solo adventure. He intends us for us to be engaged with others in our discipleship journey. Now, we may be inclined to think, well, I don't really need others. It's me and Jesus. Well, I don't really need other folks. It's just, I'm on my own. I make these choices. And, you know, sometimes people can be, they're different than me. Maybe I don't understand them. So really, I'd just rather go it on my own. I think that we'll see as we go along, that's not what Jesus had in mind. He says he refers to us as the body of Christ, and it says that we may be built up. Built up. So that word built up is construction, basically. It's being constructed, being built, being made. And so as Christ's body, we're being built up. Buildings don't go up overnight. They're building a new dorm at the university, and it's on upper campus. Those of you that might be familiar, where the tennis courts used to be, and that's on my route to work at the hospital. And so they started it last spring, I think. It's a five-story cement block building. Takes a while to build, but it's brick by brick by brick by brick. It's being built up. It's far from done. I think it's going to be open next fall. I don't know. But that's the picture here, is that as Christ's body, we're being built up. We're being built up. And there's much to be gained, I think, from pursuing Jesus together. It says, because I'm incomplete in myself. I don't have everything I need. I need you, and you need me. And I need others. And that's a lesson I need to keep learning, that I need to be engaged with others and be involved with other folks, because I have abilities, but I also have things that I just can't, that I'm not capable, that I just don't do. There's parts that I need help with. I have blind spots. There's things I just don't see. Things around me, and things in me that I just don't see, and I need others to point them out. I need the help of others to see most clearly. So we need each other. We need to be engaged together in this pursuit of Christ. And if we try to go it alone, we'll be missing out. We will be missing out. So I'm going on, reading in verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So what's the goal? What's the goal of this, of our discipleship together, of this building up? The goal is that we would be built up towards maturity, that we individually and together would grow towards maturity. It says there that we'd no longer be infants, but then farther down it says that we would grow to become in every respect the mature body of him, and that is Christ. We are the body of Christ, which is, I don't know if it's an easy concept to get your arms around, but that Christ is the head and we are the church, his church is the body. And we are being built up and growing towards maturity. We all know what it means to grow. It means to get bigger, to advance in abilities and capabilities. We're being joined. It says joined and held together. That's interconnected. So the body of Christ is interconnected parts. You know, my body is made up of lots of different parts, and fortunately, they're all connected. When they're not connected, that's a bad thing. And so Paul's talking about that we would be interconnected, joined and held together by supporting ligaments, but that we would grow together towards maturity. You know, to be maturity is, you know, we know what it means to mature physically. We have lots of little kids here at church, and you watch them grow. They get bigger, they get stronger. They're able to do the things that we do as mature adults. I was watching some toddler, and you know how they walk, you know, those first few weeks when they walk, when they're kind of half between standing and falling all the time, you know? And then they go from that to running around the laps around by the offices, you know? And that's part of the maturing physically. There's things that we can do as adults that we were never able to do as a child. And intellectually, we grow intellectually. We mature in our ability to think and understand. And emotionally, understanding where I fit in and able to see the needs of others. And so as people, we mature. We don't, as much as 2-year-olds are cute. 3-year-olds are cute. 5-year-olds are a lot of fun. But we don't want them to stay that way. We don't want them to stay that way. It wouldn't be funny if we sat around the table and looked like a 2-year-old when we're adults. That wouldn't be a good idea. It wouldn't be pleasant. It wouldn't be fun. We want to mature. We need to mature. I don't know, do high schools still have yearbooks if kids write in? When I was in high school, we had yearbooks, and you got them a couple days before the end of school, and you took them around, your friends wrote in them. And I pulled one of mine out yesterday because I thought I remembered seeing, someone write, "Never change." I am so thankful that I didn't follow that advice. I mean, what a curse to be just like I was when I was 18. What, do they hate me? You know, maturity is a good thing. Growing up is a good thing. I am so glad I'm not like I was when I was 18. So the goal is that we would mature in Christ, that we become more capable, more able to do the things that God would have us to do. And so as the body of Christ, we're to grow and develop, increase our love and care for each other, our ability to influence people around us with our unity, just growing in the things that God wants for us as individuals and as a church, that we would together be moving that direction. There are some prerequisites for this, and I think Paul included them right at the beginning of this portion. And so I'm going to jump back up to to verse 2. So I'll go back to verse 1. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Look at that one sentence. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's easy enough. That's a lot in that one little sentence. And he puts it out there to like, be this way. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bear with each other. That's a kind of a tall order. And you might, some of you might recognize that some of those things are listed in the fruits of the Spirit. These are things that we need God's Spirit in us individually to begin to build into us so that these things become true of us. To be humble, to have a right view of my own importance, a right view of how important is my contribution, how important is my opinion, where do I fit in? And I think also very much an appreciation for the contribution of others. I think that's a big part of humility, is having an appreciation for the contribution of those around me, understanding that they have much to offer. That am I willing to receive from anyone? Or are there folks that I think, well, I can't listen to them. They don't really, I can't take their opinion. So humility is having a accurate view of myself, and not putting myself first, but others. Gentleness, having a care for others. A caution, kind of. I think of gentleness as having kind of a caution in how we deal with folks, how we interact, being considerate of their place and them as individuals. Am I gentle? Or do I tromp around on folks? Patience. Patience. Simply put, patience is not being in a hurry, I think. Not being in a hurry with myself, not being in a hurry with others, not being in a hurry with my circumstances, but being willing to wait, willing to sit sometimes and not be pushing and pulling on folks around me, but be patient. And then finally, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with, what do you mean to bear with one another? Put up with one another? Hang in there when you're disappointed or hurt. Hang in there. Not give up on that person because of something that they said that maybe offended. But bearing with. We will all make mistakes. I will make mistakes. I will disappoint. You will disappoint. And this is talking about bearing with one another in love. That list is not an easy list to practice. I don't know about you, but those things are, and some of them are harder for others. And I mean, some folks are gentle just by their makeup. They tend not to be rough and like a bull in a china shop. Some people are naturally patient, maybe. But for all of us, there's one there or two there that they go, wow, that's hard. That's a hard call. But these are the things that I think Paul's given us as kind of prerequisites for growing together as the body of Christ. And like I said at the beginning, I think we can only experience these as the Spirit works in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. And they're part of this list. And so, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And you know, there's impediments, or there's obstacles to this growing together as well. This joint pursuit of Jesus, there's impediments. And I would just put them in independence and pride. pride, if I believe that I have all I need and I really can't benefit from your gifts or your contribution, that will certainly get in the way of growing together as a body. And if I choose to remain independent, keep others at arm's length, and just, I'd rather not get involved with you, that will not result in all that God wants to do in my life. So I guess the opposite of these things would be if I'm proud and independent. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. We are all inclined to pride, I believe. We're all inclined to think that we have something that others don't, maybe. So we need to be humble and gentle. Okay. Going on, just highlighting in verse 11, talking about, so how does this happen? What does this look like, maybe? In verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So given, it involves encouragement, involves variety of gifts and abilities. There's a couple of verses in Romans that I think expands this a little bit I wanted to share. It's Romans 12:6-8. It says, we have different gifts. He's talking about the church again, body of Christ. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's all kinds of contributions. There's all kinds of inputs that we have that benefit one another. Teaching, encouraging. We all need encouragement. And we can all give encouragement. That's a thing to do, of just looking out for others and giving them a good word. Giving, leading, showing mercy. We benefit. You have something to offer others in the church. You have gifts and abilities that benefit others. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as maybe influential, or don't think of ourselves as having a lot to offer, but you do. You do. We need every part. I was thinking a couple weeks ago, Rob was talking about this mission, if you choose to accept it, Mission Impossible. And I thought ahead to this idea, and what did Mr. Phelps do when he got that message? He assembled his team. Those of you that remember Mission Impossible, the old show with Mr. Phelps, it was always the same team, but he assembled his team. And we have a team, and our pursuit of discipleship is a team effort. And, we benefit from others, and oftentimes we benefit from others who are a step or two ahead of us. Those that have walked this way in this journey of discipleship before, we benefit from them, from their experiences. We giving and receiving. God gives us gifts and we share them with others, our abilities. That's how it works. That's what this section in Romans here is talking about. And largely we're inspired. I'm inspired by others' faith. I'm inspired when I see others and hear their the steps of faith they're taking to trust God for different things. That inspires me. We need that. We don't get that everywhere. You don't hear people talking at work about, yeah, I'm really trusting God for this next step in my life. Or, we're having a child and, boy, we need God's help with that or whatever it might be. We're inspired or instructed by people who are going through difficulties, maybe that we haven't encountered, but they are, and we see their faith in the midst of those difficulties. We're inspired by that. And we need that. We need that. And so, and we don't all, we can be instructed by others' mistakes if they're willing to share them with us. We don't all need to make the same mistakes. If we're engaged with each other and know each other, we can, somebody can say, boy, I did that and that was a mistake. Avoid that pitfall. We don't need to all make the same mistakes. And thought of, what this is like. We were, Nancy and I were snowshoeing the other day. Snow is a couple feet deep in the woods now. And the first person that's pretty tough going. It's deep. Snowshoes, you don't just walk on a top. You sink in a little bit. But the second person and the third person, it's a lot easier. And I think that's oftentimes the way it is with us as Christians. We learn from others that have gone ahead of us, and it's an easier road for us. Another picture would be, bike racers. If you've ever seen a bike race where they ride in a big group, the Peloton, they call it. They do that for a reason. They're sweeping each other along, even a couple bikes. If you stay right on the real close to the wheel of the person in front of you, it's a great benefit. They're breaking the wind, and they're making a way for you. And you take turns, and you can go longer and faster. It's pretty dramatic, pretty dramatic. And so we can benefit from each other. And from either, from our experiences, from our wisdom, from our mistakes, from whatever we're willing to share. And so where does this, I think it happens in a variety of contexts, how this togetherness in our pursuit of Jesus happens in a variety of contexts. One happens here on a Sunday morning. We're together, we're looking at God's word, we're thinking about it, thinking about how this applies to me. How am I going to, what's this going to, how's this going to affect me this week? So we have that opportunity on a Sunday morning. We also have life groups. Many of us are involved in life groups where there's a smaller group of people that we interact with, and we see each other on a kind of a regular basis and see what's going on, and we share what's going on with us and what we're learning and what we're trusting God for and what our needs are, and we pray together. That's a way we do this, growth towards maturity. And then there's one-on-one friendships and mentoring where two people, if you think about it, if two people have each individually chosen to make following Jesus a priority, so you've got, there's that individual part like we talked about at the beginning, there's choices you can't make for me. There's desires that you can't give me. But if I have made those choices, I'm seeking Christ, and you are. If we get together, we can learn from each other, and we can help each other on that path. And that can be a little scary. Letting others get to know us can be kind of scary. We're not always what we'd like to be. We don't always have it all together. But as we grow in humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, we can do that. We can do that. So that we can share our fears, we can share our joys, we can share our failures. And then we can invite people to speak to us about those things. And so I think that's something that we can grow in is making those connections with others. And I would encourage you that you do have something to offer, to seek out opportunities. If there's someone you know that you feel like maybe I'm a few steps ahead, maybe I'd talk to that person and say, hey, let's get together. And get together every week or two and we can talk and share and encourage each other along the way. Or if there's someone that's a few steps ahead of you, pursue them and say, hey, could we get together? I think it would be good. And you can learn from each other that way. You do have something to offer. Early, when I was a young man, there were a couple of guys that were very influential in my life. And I don't know if they would have even said, oh yeah, I'm discipling Mark. I don't know if they would have, but they spent time with me, invited me into their homes. I thought they were miles ahead of me. They were probably 4 years ahead of me in age. They weren't that far. Now that doesn't seem like much. Then it seemed like a lifetime. They had kids. And I, you know, they were like, whoa. But these guys invited me into their lives, and I was a single guy, and they'd have me over. I'd fix their cars, stuff like that. But anyway, they influenced me. And one of them, his name was Phil, he influenced me a lot, and just in practical ways and helping me choose a course for my life. And we lost contact. Phil and his family moved away, and I didn't see him for about 10 years. And then ran into him at he was reffing a soccer game in Madison, of all places, and we reconnected. And I got to see him every year, 6 months, for a while. Haven't seen him now for a little bit. But almost every time I'd see him, I'd tell him how influential he'd been and what an impact he had on me. And he'd listen. And finally, he said one time, he goes, why do you tell me that all the time? Why are you telling me that? Every time I see you, you tell me that. I just wanted him to know because it was true. And I don't think he appreciated how influential he was. And sometimes that can be our place. We don't think that we have a lot to offer. And he probably didn't think he was doing that much, but he influenced me. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I wanted to tell him. And so next time I see him, I'll tell him again. And it's just sweet to think about. So so we can benefit each other. We can help each other in this pursuit of Christ. And discipleship happens in the midst of real life. We don't take a break from life and say, okay, now for the next 4 weeks, I'm gonna do this discipleship thing, then I'm going to go back to real life. It happens in the midst of life. It happens while you're going to work. It happens in your family. It happens while you're going about your business. And so we have that opportunity to be involved with each other in the midst of life. And that's, I believe, what Paul is writing to these folks. If you read on in that chapter, if you read on beyond past verse 16 in chapter 4 of Ephesians and into chapter 5, there's a lot of instruction and exhortation about how this can be, even individually and as in the church. So I would encourage you to take a look at that. So discipleship's not a solo adventure. It's not, I'm on my own. I need you. You need me. We need each other. The goal is growth toward maturity. God's desire, Jesus' desire for his church is that we would grow in maturity, in our ability to carry out what he wants us to do. There are prerequisites that are tall orders: humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance. And every part contributes, and every part, everyone who is following Jesus has a part to play and a part to offer others. My prayer is that we would be a group of people, not loosely associated, not a bunch of lone rangers, but engaged with each other, engaged and involved, and encouraging each other in our pursuit to bring more and more glory to God as we become the mature body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are your body. It's hard to understand that, but you have given us that place, and you have called us to pursue you together. I thank you for that. Help us do that. Help us be unafraid, or even if we are afraid, to move ahead in closer and closer connection, that we would be interconnected, as I said, and grow to be the mature body of him. That's you, Christ. So we thank you. We need you in this, and we desire to see you glorified, see you lifted up. Amen.